What's up, everybody? I'm JJ John Jastrzemski.
And I'm Jason Goff. And if you haven't heard, The Ringer has gone local.
I'm bringing the fire. I'm bringing the rain from the Big Apple with my show, New York, New York.
And I'm repping Chi-Town with my new show, The Full Goal, on all things Chicago.
We've got episodes 3 nights a week with all the reaction to the local teams and guests.
Plus bonus episodes around all the big games and storylines.
So whether you're uptown, downtown, in the burbs, or a transplant,
make sure you follow New York, New York, and The Full Goal on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Monday edition. Another first. I tell you, every week we do this now, this is a first. Not only am I at Jesse's house again, because I have internet issues and contractors at my house, which would have been a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I'm in bed. I'm in the bed in Jesse's spare bedroom. Is this a guest room? What is this?
This is a guest room, yeah, but this could be your room. You want that room?
I like it. We were going to record together. It's just the optics. We're moving into the office, it looks like, on Wednesday. I just spoke to the realtor. I'm hoping, either way, I'm doing the show Thursday there. No matter how set up we are. Won't be much visual anyways, so.
No, that room's blank. I would like to go ahead and propose this, if you're willing. Right now, we put out the offer, someone burns down your new house because it's caused nothing but trouble. I'll give out the address as soon as you say okay. 123 Fake Street. That was it.
Oh, God. Get the dogs out. We do have a guest coming on. There's kind of a cool Steph Curry NFT project coming out. It's actually kind of like it's the first one I've seen like this that actually caught my attention. So we're going to talk about that for just a few minutes toward the end of the show. Kind of a hodgepodge thing too. A couple NFL review. Why don't you do your world famous rundown?
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't I do the rundown?
Tom Brokaw called me the other day. He's like, dude, sports boy rundown? Oof.
I thought Tom Brokaw died. Did Tom Brokaw not die?
Peter Jennings. Is he still around? somebody called me.
Tom Brokaw is dead. Yeah. So that's sad. That's sad news. But he was a great man, and I'm going to imitate him as we go.
I don't know.
The rundown.
Here we go.
NFL update is our big picture today. It's hard to talk about what happened yesterday, but we're going to do our best. And we're going to talk about pricing to go along with it. We're going to talk a little bit about basketball. There's a few news things, nothing too crazy. I know we got a lot of really good response on the Prism pricing as far as base not always being the devil. We're going to update that from there, talk a little bit about silvers for those who still think base is the devil. We got some new releases coming out Wednesday. Some interesting posts on about myths in the hobby. We're going to talk about that as well, see what guys think are myths and what we think are actually myths. PWCC cards, Pop Century recap. And the Steph Curry interview with the guy who created the NFT. And
David,
our favorite
Schwab.
Mailbag.
I don't know if he created the NFT. I don't know what his role actually is.
I guess he's going to tell us all about it when he comes on for about 5 to 10 minutes.
I know he works for Octagon, which is who we're signed with. So that'll be good. Yeah. And the other stuff we'll see as time goes. So let's get right into it.
Big picture. NFL update.
You have not lost a step, I tell you.
No, you can't throw me off anymore. You lose internet, you get hit by a tornado. Doesn't matter. I am laser focused.
5G is coming to town, though. That's the other reason they said internet's been spotty. They said Hendersonville's finally on the 5G list.
Man. For anybody in Hendersonville, you realize how great that is because our internet here is atrocious. 4G is not good.
So the kick in the face began. It was a prolonged kick in the mouth. It began Saturday night with just an atrocious Patriots game. And it followed 24 hours later with Thomas Edward Brady just looking like a child on the field. I mean, manhandled by the Saints. This has nothing to do with cards, by the way. I don't care about the cards.
Okay.
But I do a little bit. Tom Brady respect. I mean, the Saints own him. It is unbelievable in the regular season how bad he is against that team.
I didn't realize that was a thing. I didn't know that the Saints and Tom Brady was a thing, but apparently it is.
He's 0-4. I think they beat him. Yeah, I believe he's lost all four games against the Saints since he's been in Tampa last year. No, he beats them in the playoffs, which counts. But yeah, brutal and a horrible game for the Bucs in general. I don't know the extent of the injuries, but Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Leonard Fournette, and I think Davis, their middle linebacker on defense. Horrific. Those are huge names that they need healthy if they're going to make a run out of the NFC.
Do you think that Tom Brady's pricing was affected very much? Far as long term? Just because it wasn't a great game for him as far as how he looked. But you don't think that really has anything to do?
No, that's
there was an interesting stat. Someone pointed out that last year they lost to the Saints and then he went back and won the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying I can tell the future, but if anything, if history is going to repeat itself, it could be good for us. Tom Brady fans.
Yeah. I mean, here's the difference, right? Between two quarterbacks. So Tom Brady market as it should be totally unaffected because of a horrific game. I mean, he was brutal to watch. On the flip side, the Mac Jones market took a bit of a hit, especially, I don't know how much of the market actually took a hit, but it man, guys are rooting for Mac Jones. It is the weirdest thing. First of all, let's just spell the rumor. Nobody is saying right now Mac Jones is a top 10 quarterback in the league. No one. Anybody who is, I think, is a moron. He's not, but he's probably top 15 range, and he's a kid. As a rookie, to be playing as well as he's played, to make as few mistakes as he's made is a great sign. But that's why the other night, I just didn't understand all the hate. He looked absolutely horrible in the first half. However, the game had a second half to it. I thought he looked really good. He put him in position, at least in position to get there at the end. Some different coaching calls by Belichick. I don't question him. The guy knows more about football than anybody else in the world. So, kick the field goal, go for it, whatever. I don't care. Mac Jones let him down the field a number of times at the end of the game. But then it was like, all you guys were just Mac Jones cards. Time to dump your cards. If you're selling Mac Jones after a horrible game, unless there's a crazy injury, again, it's just a dumb move financially. There's no reason to do it.
I would say some did, though, because pricing did drop about a quarter. I think when we talked about it last, he was like 450, which was about what those cards came out at when people started getting their graded Don Russ PSA 10s.
Yep.
And now, as of yesterday, last one was selling for like 345. So
I don't think that has anything. And people pointed to that example, as a matter of fact. That has nothing to do with the game. That has to do with the fact that Justin Herbert, who has a high pop count of that exact same card and is a better quarterback than Mac Jones is, maybe better than he ever will be. I don't know. His card sells for $325. Mac should not be above Herbert. The pop count is growing every single day. But this whole freak out sales thing, the flip side of the coin too is the Colts looked unbelievable. Everybody not named Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is a... he tried as much as he could to give the Patriots the win the other night. But Jonathan Taylor, no Thomas, is unbelievable. That's the first time I've watched a full game of his this year. He's ridiculously good. This kind of led to my little segment here.
Yeah.
Mike's segment. See it? So I did there?
You can do it too. It's fun, isn't it?
All right. So the contention is, we'll get into some of this too in the hobby myth talk later. But the overall belief in the hobby, and I think this is very much true, is quarterbacks sell. Quarterbacks compared to any other position, it's literally like two separate markets. I don't think there's a better example of that than Jonathan Taylor. Justin Jefferson as well, but Jonathan Taylor. The guy, after yesterday's performance, or Saturday, I guess, and Brady's performance last night, he has to be very close. I wish we had the odds to that in Vegas for the MVP right now, because I bet it's super close now.
The odds for MVP for...
MVP for this season.
Okay. Let me look.
My point, while Jesse's looking that up, though, I don't think most position players are too cheap. Although people will see a position player having a great season. Guys will point to Justin Jefferson. Oh, he's too cheap. Look at how good he is. There's still a huge disconnect with on-the-field production from non-QBs as it relates to their hobby value. There just is. Now, the sentiment is changing. Hey, Ronick just dropped the FanDuel link for you, by the way.
Oh, I got to pull it up too.
So the sentiment is changing, but it's just not the case because a lot of these guys, as good as they are, they're never going to catch up to second, even third-rate quarterbacks. What are his MVP odds right now? What are the top five?
So I pulled it up on Vegas Insider, but FanDuel's got it similar, but not exact.
Give me the FanDuel.
I'll do FanDuel because I think they're sponsoring.
Give me 1 through 5 odds.
So I don't know how to tell you what that is. I can tell you it's plus a certain number.
So Tom Brady's
plus 160. He's still 160. He's still okay, you're not gonna like this. He's number one. However, he's tied with another guy. Do you know who that person is?
I didn't even hear the first name. I'm sorry. Brady?
Tom Brady. Yeah.
Number two, is it Rodgers?
Yeah, they're tied right now. Where's
Jonathan Taylor?
He is number five. So he's only, he's very close. Patty Mahomes is third. Matt Stafford is four. Jonathan Taylor is five.
What is Taylor's odds? So Brady and Rodgers are plus 160. He's minus what?
He
minus 500?
No, not minus. He's still plus 1,200.
Oh, I'm sorry. Plus 12. Really?
Yeah. So
that's ridiculous to me. I don't know how and how Stafford could be deemed more valuable than Taylor right now. I would argue the same thing about Rodgers, as a matter of fact. He's missed games this year. That's weird.
So well, this fast, was updated. To be fair, though, this was updated. Oh, they only update this once a week. Okay. So this was updated as of Tuesday of last week. So this is not taking in.
Make a note. We're following up on this one then for sure on Thursday's show. I want to do this now. I'm not saying this guy should sell like Herbert and Burrow. Generational type talent quarterbacks out of the same class, though, should obviously outsell a running back no matter how good he is. Here's what I'm interested in. Some Jalen Hurts and some Tua pricing compared to Jonathan Taylor. Do you have any examples, apples to apples?
Yes, I did see your note. I tried to pull some stuff up. So let me see. I pulled up, Jonathan Taylor is not in Carlisle, but he is on eBay, of course. Let me look up I noticed the one that I had is an actual, it says it's a SP variation. So it's not going to be in line because I got Mosaic.
Yeah, I just want straight
base.
Yeah, for this argument, I just want base because we're not trying to say base is good, bad, whatever. This is just how does this player sell compared to another guy?
Okay, so let's see. 2020 Panini Mosaic, true rookie. All right, so it looks like we're good here. This is a base one. For a PSA 10, as of yesterday, this is Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
He sold for $83.
That's Mosaic PSA 10?
Mosaic.
Or
yep.
Do you have, before you tell me the price, do you have Tua and Jalen Hurts of that same exact card?
I do.
Are they both selling over 100?
Not even close.
Oh, good. Is Taylor outselling him?
Oh, yes. By a lot.
This is actually amazing to me. I am so happy to see that the sentiment is finally turning. 2 years ago, the fourth best quarterback would be far outselling Jonathan Taylor, which would be ridiculous, all because of the position. So what are Tua and Hurts selling for? 30, 40 bucks?
So Tua is leading Hurts. Tua is at 35 and Hurts is about 30.
By the way, Tua is playing really well. Led him to another win yesterday. Tua should be selling higher than that. But the fact that the hobby is finally starting to, maybe we're myth busting things in the next year. Maybe maybe this time next year it is like, hey, position
should we be
players,
leading straight into the myth play, the myth discussion?
We don't have time. We got a guest coming on in a minute.
Okay.
Do you have another example? I just want to make sure that's not like an outlier.
I don't, but I mean, give me a minute and I can get something. Let's see. Let's pull up his, do you care Don if it's Russ the prison base? I mean,
sure. Do prison. All right.
So I'll do prism base.
Okay, so let's talk prism now, just to make sure this isn't an outlier. For prism, I'm seeing for Jonathan Taylor, PSA 10, again, just base, so we have apples to apples, 200 to 250 in the last 3 days. Closer to 250 since the game the other night. I know for a fact Tua and Hurts are not above that.
Oh, no, they are still relatively low.
100? 120?
Not even they're not breaking three digits, bud.
Really?
Hurts is at 57 and Tua is at 83.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
This whole point is moot then. I am so glad to see this. Now, Burrow and Herbert are still selling over 300. You can pull them up in card ladder. Surely. Don't call me Shirley. So what is he selling like compared to those guys? I'm wondering. Because he's the fact that he's passing second and third rate QBs, by the way, in value is awesome.
So Burrow, PSA 10, is 300? Selling at 183. He's selling for less than JTT.
Really?
Yeah. 183. Justin Herbert now, he is selling for more. He's at a little over 400.
How is Burrow half the value? Are there multiple sales on that Burrow?
The Burrow is the most recent sale as of yesterday.
What was it before that?
It did have a drop pretty good. It was selling for about 217 before that.
So Taylor's on par with Burrow then. I'm actually happy to see that. I still, though, here's the only issue I have with this. The guy is still a running back. Statistically, running backs and injuries, it just scares me. And I don't, I just haven't seen a team go on a big run with a horrible quarterback in a while. Maybe this Colts team is the one that breaks the mold and they can. And the AFC, who knows, it's all wide open. So I don't hate the Jonathan Taylor play, but if you're going to make it, you have to make it now. I think this has to be a short-term window or a super long-term. I'm a collector. I'm holding. I'm hanging on forever.
I'll say this, that Jake Baker could not be happier with what you're saying right now. He made a comment in the mailbag. It's not a question, so I'll just throw it out. He said, I would like Mike Geo to continue doubting the Bengals. When he starts believing or saying nice things about them, they struggle. Please, Mike, keep doing the reverse jinx.
Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. You're welcome, Jake. The other guy I want to talk about real quick was Tyler Huntley. Backup. He was a rookie last year. Backup for the Ravens. Came in to start because Lamar was injured. I actually watched that game against Green Bay. He played really well. I actually loved him going for two at the end of the game, too. At that point, you know, you made a crazy comeback. The momentum to me, I think Green Bay wins if you go into overtime either way. I like the fact that Harbaugh is like, you know what? We're going for it. Win or lose, this is it right here. I wish he would have just let him run the ball. Crazy spike in his values, though. That's a perfect example of a guy who had very little hype, at all, if any, quite frankly. 2020 rookie. His stuff more than doubled overnight. Everything across the board. And then Jesse was looking him up on 130 point. The amount, not just the price, but the amount of sales. Absolutely insane. Yeah. In the last 12 hours.
Insane. Yeah, you couldn't even get through an entire page before, yeah, running out of space.
It just shows you, though. You know what's good about that? It shows you that, oh, the market's dead. Everything's burnt. No, it's not. People are just selective. And the fact that this happens is a great sign. Like, hey, this guy plays out of his, played really, really well against one of the best teams, probably argue the best team in football right now, the Packers. And guess what? His stuff went nuts because he had a good game. I love seeing those momentary spikes. So,
interesting weekend. I pulled up his 2020 Panini Contenders rookie ticket, card number 273, if anybody's interested. This is ungraded. Sold for 110 as of yesterday. As of a week or two ago, that card sold for $65.
Okay. So, yeah. Here's the thing, though, with Tyler Huntley. Not to get into the whole investment, buy, sell, flip, whatever. I think you got to sell this guy right now. There's no, I mean, to me, you know Lamar's coming back. Lamar was a game time decision to play yesterday. So to me, Tyler Huntley's a guy. Played exceptional. We're probably not going to see him on the field again. On the field again this year. I think that's when you cash out high. All right. Done NFL talk. Done with NFL talk. I have just like two quick things on the NBA. Unless you have something. I know you're a big basketball fan with your height.
Oh, man. I was always. Do you know what position I was whenever I played basketball?
Left out. Is that wrong?
Oh, my God. It's you so accurate, but down, it's baby. So mean. No, I was the guy under the goal. They just said, don't move, because I never got down the whole dribbling and not.
So what's
I always
the name,
double dribbled.
What's the name of that position, then?
Rebounder. The rebound.
Yep. Perfect. Speaking of the rebound position, some call it the center, but not everybody. Some people just call it the rebounder.
Yeah, some people don't.
Anthony Davis heard a pop.
Yes.
Tell me about this,
please. Anthony Davis heard a pop. Bottom line, it is some knee injury.
Pop goes the kneesel.
Diagnosed as MCL sprain. I don't know. Do you know what is MCL sprain? I don't know exactly what that
How long
means.
Is he out for? It's really the biggest thing here.
Biggest question, how long is he out? At least 4 weeks.
That kid cannot stay healthy, man. And that team
I
doesn't
feel
look
like
great.
That's everybody. Nobody stays healthy anymore.
Yeah, but he, I mean, his whole career, that's tough. If you're an Anthony Davis guy, hold your stuff. If you're not, I've got a couple of his prism, maybe some other small stuff too. I mean, my plan was to hold for the playoffs, so this doesn't really change it. But man, every time he goes down, I'm just like, here we go, Mr. Glass.
How old is he? Does he have much of a career left?
Oh, yeah, he was drafted in 2012, 2013.
So he's 28 years old. So he's got some time left.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, but at what point does a 7-footer with bad knees, like, does he not have time left? For this purpose, though, I do wonder if in 3 weeks from now, if he's getting close to the return, if his prices are still dropping. You know, we've seen his market really take off because of how he performs in the postseason. I guess it's something to keep an eye on, but that's it. Like, I'm not saying buy, sell. I want to see how he does and how he rehabs. And is he actually going to be back? That's been a weird team all year. I just feel like they have not got it right yet. The other thing, too, just one other guy I want to talk about real quick. Donovan Mitchell. Do you have his stats for the year by chance?
I've got his card prices. I can get his stats. 1 second.
So I know Utah's third in the West. Like, one of the best records in basketball. You know, we got the question again with this guy. Like, man, why isn't his stuff spiking? Is now a good time to buy? So they're 20-9. They're the third seed right now. you know, Mitchell's a great player, but here's where I caution again. Here's where you have to remove on-court performance from the card market. Again, I'm strictly talking about the card market now. I think he's great. He's averaging 25 points a game this year. Fantastic. But he did this last year. And they went on a decent playoff run last year, and his market never really took off. So I'm not really sure what he's supposed to do for his market to really take off. Like, he's another guy. He's almost to that class now because he plays in the small market. I don't think anybody really, really trusts that team in the playoffs yet. I think at this point, it's like, hey, let's see you beat a good team in the playoffs, and then we'll talk about your values increasing. Well, so he's a guy, too. I would just say patience. I wouldn't go crazy with him right now.
I mean, you're talking about his stats like they're really good? I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but
he's playing really good, and the team's playing really good.
His stats this year, he's got 25 points per. He's averaging 25 points per game. His rebounds are only 3.7. Assists,
he's not a rebounder
five.
Like you. He's not a rebounder, I mean, like you. That assist number's good, though.
That's fair. But I compare his pricing to what it was last year. And granted, the market has changed a little bit. In last year, I just thought he was performing better. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I'm looking at the stats right now for last year. Last year's season, this can't be right. Average points. This thing says 50th. Oh, games played. Dude, sometimes these are hard to read. Give me one second. 26 points. 26 points last year. His assists, he had a little bit better points, a little bit better assists, and much better rebounds. He had 4.4 versus 3.7 now.
And he's having the same year.
So are you thinking his pricing should be where it was last year, or do you think it should be down, but not this far down?
I think he is priced where he's supposed to be, because we've seen this team do very good in the regular season. And we've seen him not perform in the postseason. Not as it's supposed to be. If you go in as a number one seed, you should be making the Western Conference Finals. We haven't really seen that. So I just don't. Yeah, I don't think this team is like going to. I just don't think his pricing does anything until the playoffs at the earliest. So patience with Donovan. Spider's great. Unless you're in it for the long haul, there's no reason to tie up money.
It is interesting. His silver did pop up a little bit recently. His base has been on a steady decline, but his silver
is all base has.
Yeah, exactly. But his silver's popped up about to 900. It was doing like in the mid 700s for a while. So,
okay. So speaking of silver, so last week we did the chart with from 2012 to 2020, like the pricing of silver base, the pops, how it relates. It was actually a kind of interesting segment. I thought it was interesting. If you didn't, I don't care, but I liked it. So this week we said, hey, for the last 3 years then, just 3 years, I want to do the top couple of guys and do their silver, Prism Silver PSA 10 rookies. So who do you have for the... So I'm guessing you started with what? Luca, Trey, and...
Who's the third one? 2018.
Oof. De'Aaron Fox?
No. Shy.
Oh, Gilchrist. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. SGA.
So overall... Luka obviously is outperforming all of them. It actually goes in that order. Luka, Trey, Shai, as far as pricing goes.
So Trey is only like $1,000 now.
Trey is a little over that, but yeah, he's doing about 1,200, 11 to 1,200.
Okay. What's the pop on Trey?
So Trey also has about half the pop of Luka. He's looking at close to 11,000, which is crazy that the silvers are at 11,000 PSA 10s.
There's 11,000 silver trays.
Oh, you know what? I didn't realize they put pop counts for both base and silver.
Okay.
Yeah. They tried to get me on that one. No. Okay. So this makes more sense. I was going to say that seems so crazy.
I was
going to
say 1,500.
2,100.
Not terrible. Okay. Yeah. So 20% of the amount of base. It's actually good.
You know, people keep saying how base is the devil, and I get it because it's so high. These numbers, though, are still attainable. I feel like this should be like the new standard, as far as like we always say base because it's so easy to pull up, everybody's got it, but doesn't everybody have silvers too? I mean,
here's the thing that's nice about base though, you start talking about PSA 10 silvers, you're really pricing people out. Like it's expensive.
I see. Okay.
That's why, like, I don't even mind talking base raw stuff because you can get people in, you know, for 20, 30 bucks a card. Okay. So he's, and honestly, he is closer to $1,000 in the last couple of days since this report was sent, because I've been watching his pricing. So $1,000, 2,100 for a pop. What is SGA? Like 500?
He is actually right at 500. 510, 490. Yep.
Okay. Pop count?
487, much lower.
Yeah, I think people probably held off on sending this guy in too. That's the difference there. And then Luka, see, Lucas had topped out at some point during this last crazy high streak we had earlier in the year, like $9,000. Is Luka doing $3,500?
Are you looking at the report? I mean, honestly, you can just say it. It's not a big deal if you're looking.
No, I don't look at it. I don't care. Is it $3,500?
Yeah, it's exactly $3,500.
Again, but I see these pop up on Facebook all the time. What's the pop on him? $1,000?
Pop is $2,000. So he's just a little less than Trey.
Man. So the pop on his base is $20,000. The pop on his silver, you're talking 10% the amount. That's why I don't subscribe to this thought that, hey, base was first, but silvers are next. Everything has to be numbered now. Clearly not the case. Look at the numbers. All right, go to the next year. So the next year you got Zion, Ja.
Well, just real quick, do you think is Trey undervalued or Luka overvalued, or do you think they are appropriately priced?
I mean, we got to see Luka to keep and maintain those type of pricing. Not only do we have to see him back, he's another guy. We got to see postseason success. And then for Trey, you know, they just had a bad start to the season. They're under 500. They're just not playing good. Although last year they won a great regular season team and then they went off. So if I had to buy, gun to my head, I have to buy one of those two guys with the intent of selling it in the next 6 months, I'd probably go Trey. Yep. And then SGA is weird because, you know, again, that team, I could be totally wrong about that team. I just don't think they're going anywhere. They have the third worst record in all of basketball. When the Pelicans have won more games than you, you're terrible. So I don't like SGA for that reason, just for the win loss. Now, if he gets traded somewhere to a relevant team, I would buy him up immediately because it'd be crazy spikes in pricing off the bat. But out of those three, I would go Trey.
I would say Trey is outperforming as far as stat-wise goes. Luka, he's second for points, third in assists.
Yep, you got to start winning games. That's what people need to see at this point from him. All right, so 2019-2020, you got Zion, Ja. Is RJ the third there?
Zion, Ja, and no, it is. You want another guess?
Tyler.
Yeah, there he is.
Okay. Yep. The hero. So Zion's PSA 10s, man, $2,000?
$1,800 to $2,000. Yeah. One of the last three sold was $2,000.
What's the pop on him compared to Luka now? So Luka and Trey were $2,100. What's Zion?
Actually, surprisingly less. I would have thought there'd be more at this point. About $1,400.
Interesting. Okay. What's Ja Morant? $1,200, $1,300?
Ja's doing about 13 to 1400 right now for his silvers, and his pop count is pretty close to Zion. He's about 1200.
Okay. And then what's Tyler at? He's the one I don't have any guess. I mean, I would guess $500, but I really don't know. You could tell me it's way high, way low. I wouldn't be surprised.
You would be doing Tyler a great service if he was 500. He's doing roughly $300 on average over the last three sales.
And what's that pop?
730.
So he's selling for half a Ja. I'll be honest with you, I'd buy Tyler. I think Miami goes way deeper than any of those other two teams. I mean, the Pelicans aren't making the playoffs. What are we talking about? I would buy Tyler Herro at that price. $300 for a PSA 10 silver? And Miami's dangerous. That's a team nobody wants to mess with in the East in the first two rounds if you can avoid them. I'd buy Herro. And I think Hero's a prolific scorer at times, which is just enough to boost his market. Here's the crazy outlier, though. Now let's just briefly, because I'm getting bored with this, too many numbers. 2020 is the weird one. I think all these guys, I haven't looked at the 2020 side. They're all going to be sells right now because they're stupid high. Got to be Edwards, LaMelo, and Cole?
Hang on. One second. I just have to go back for a second. Why did you not make any comment about Zion's pricing being like so much better than Ja Morant's?
That's garbage.
I'm just surprised.
He came in with so much hype. And we've seen him play, like I said, the last month of the season last year, that point Zion, we saw like a crazy, his ceiling is higher than Ja's.
So you, I don't know if he's ever, you hold out hope for Zion.
I do. I'm, it's also, it. Yeah, because we've seen it. The tough thing is, are we ever going to see it again?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, all right. I mean, how many 500 pounders are dunking basketballs? I don't know. You never know. And honestly, too, the health, it just scares me. So you know me, I'm super heavy invested in him. I'm just holding to see if he comes back. But I think that shows you the mentality of the market in general. The fact that his pricing is still higher than Ja, I think it's kind of like, hey, yeah, we know there's all these reasons you shouldn't be investing in Zion. But at the same time, I think there's this underlying thought process like, if dude comes back for 12 straight games and averages 30, maybe his market takes off momentarily, and I will be out completely at that point. I won't mess around with him again.
He's not been completely written off. All right, 2020. Who did you have? You said LaMelo, Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, LaMelo, and Cole Beasley?
Nope.
It should be. Wiseman?
Nope. I'll tell you, you and Billy Boy, Mr. Bill Simmons, talked a lot about him because I tried to Google him and I couldn't spell his name right.
Billy Boy? I don't know. Who is it?
Tyrese Maxey.
Oh, Maxey. Okay. Interesting. Over Cole Beasley. Okay. Cole Anthony. So just give me the three pop counts for these guys because I guarantee it's crazy low. Like 300.
Surprisingly, who do you think has the most pop count?
LaMelo.
By a far margin, Anthony Edwards has more. But it's still relatively low numbers. 304 for Anthony Edwards. Only 58 for LaMelo. Kind of surprising.
And what's Maxey?
Maxey is 9.
Yeah, that's the thing. What's Maxey selling for?
He's doing about $500.
Oh, so that is actually worth sending the PSA right now if you think it'll 10. I think that's probably why people held off, though. What's the market like when I get this thing back?
Yeah.
So Maxey should not be outselling Tyler Hero. And once those pops start hitting, he will not be.
Yeah. I guarantee.
But LaMelo.
What's really interesting about two with Anthony Edwards, though, with that pop count, silver 304. I'm going to double check this make sure this is right. His pop count is actually more than his base.
That makes sense because a lot of people weren't spending more the value, money.
But it's just
and because people weren't spending the money to send the base in.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But it's just weird because
he's got to be selling the highest now, right, Edwards?
No. That's what's interesting. That's why I thought there would be a lot more LaMelo. LaMelo is the only one who can hold a torch to Luka. He's doing about 3,800 to 4,000 right now.
But a pop count in the 50s, that kind of makes sense. What's Edwards doing? $3,000?
Edwards is doing $1,200.
What?
I mean, there's a lot more of them. There's about, what, if six times 300. More?
How is Zion outselling him by 50%?
Maybe the market's already reacting to the fact that there are six times more. And, you know, like one place, first to second place, that can be big price jump.
But Edwards' team is playing well finally, which I never thought I'd say about the Timberwolves. I mean, they're 500. They're the 8th seed right now. And he's playing out of his mind. I hate to say this. I don't think that's a bad buy. LaMelo, to me, is a sale because you know the pop count's coming up. I'm not touching Tyrese Maxey for more than Tyler Hero. I don't think they're bad cards, but I just think of the current values. But Edwards selling for the same as Ja and for $600 less than Zion, that's a weird number. Yeah, that's funny. Okay. Anyways, it just kind of gives you just kind of the comparison there was silver to base, just to kind of give people a general idea. So
I do think, though, that one of the reasons why you don't see more of the silvers, or could be one of the reasons, is they guys have been primarily sending in his base stuff because he does have 438 PSA 10 base cards. So I don't know if that's what the deal is, why, but there's so many more of those. Because, I mean, Anthony Edwards, he only has 100 base cards graded. I don't know what the comparison is, but there's something there.
Yeah, that is strange. I'm just surprised he's that cheap with that low of a pop. It's surprising. Very weird. Some of these things I don't want to talk about, I'll be honest with you. As the show drags on, I have no interest. Real quick then, release calendar. Tomorrow.
Every time you come over here twice, I feel like the days you come over here, it's less fun. Like I don't feel like you're having fun. And granted, you're not in your environment. You're not in your, I know you're in a bed right now. That's not your native habitat. That for me, I'd be singing and dancing. If I was laying in a bed right now doing a podcast, I'm like,
last time you danced, you broke your wrist, but okay.
That's your wife's fault. She pushed me. But yeah, I just want to tell the people, if this is your first tune in, Mike is usually a very jovial, we're having a fun time. So, you know, pep it up. That's your advice. That's sports way advice.
Ronick, scrap the last 80 minutes. We're going. It's go time. We're starting this thing over.
Here we go.
Monday edition.
That's what I wanted to hear. That's what everybody wants to hear.
You know what I'm excited about? Release calendar. I'm pumped.
Oh my goodness. I knew you would be. I'm getting prices as you speak. Keep going.
2021 Immaculate UFC. First year Panini has released this one. I think this is going to kind of have a prism effect to it. Inaugural year. First time you're seeing like really crazy nice patch autos of some of this stuff. What's it going for a box? What's the breakdown?
Okay, so I didn't know you were going to do Immaculate first. So I'm now pulling that one up. All right.
What do you want to go? I'll go anywhere you want.
No. I got it right here. Hobby box to come out on the 31st. Wait, you said it comes out this Wednesday, didn't you? Panini Immaculate UFC.
I thought it was the 21st.
Ah, 31st, my friend. 31st.
We're not talking about it. Next.
Never mind. It. Forget it. We'll talk about it later.
Okay, all so right. So then on the 22nd, so this Wednesday, Donruss Soccer and Topps Dynasty Baseball.
All right.
I don't know anything about soccer. Give people the breakdown, then we can move on. I have no opinion on it.
You have no opinion on the soccer one. Okay.
It's expensive. So, and it's Donruss. It's weird.
All right. Well, that being said, this is 2021, 2022. It does release on the 22nd. So not the 21st, but that's okay.
I said that.
Oh, you think it's the 21st. My bad. Then $700 a box.
What's the... So obviously the huge breakdown here, which is the craziest thing in the world, grading huge name base cards fast. Be the first one out the door. See if you can catch that Mac Jones type, you know, catch there. I don't know what to do with that. I don't know if that's good, bad, ugly. I have no clue. But there you get $700 a box. Comes out Wednesday.
All right.
Yeah, but now Dynasty Baseball is something I'm very familiar with. The only problem with Dynasty Baseball is the price. So for those not familiar, you open the box. It has one encased patch auto card. They look awesome. The checklist is a little bit too big because you get some real crap names for the price point, but there's some awesome names. You can also get crazy, like nice 101 cut autos of some, you know, deceased Hall of Famers that go for huge money. Here's the problem. What is the price of this retailing for right now?
I'm going to guess. The problem is the price. I got to guess.
Is it $450 a box?
$450. Oh, you know what? Hang on. I've got the case pulled up. Let me get this box price. Box is... new. Is $450 good or is that bad? Because it only goes higher than that.
Oh, it's... Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oof. It's $550.
Here's the problem with that. Yes, it's awesome stuff, but so many people are going to pull a Mark McGwire, which if you hit that normally, you'd be like, okay, cool. And it's going to sell for $125. At $550 a box, I guess Griffey sells for that. Jeter probably. Like, what are you supposed to hit? That's the issue I have with this. And it's one card. So it's not like other products where you can buy it. Like Donruss, okay, it's $700 a box. But you're going to get 15 cards that potentially you could grade with SGC for cheaper stuff or PSA if it's big enough. And even if you don't get like that one big hit, you could kind of crawl your way out of debt. With this, it's one and done. You hit a Barry Larkin card, you're going to get $65. You're done. There's no redemption here. So this is really for the gamblers. So like this is really for guys who are just chasing. It's also just a 5-card case. You don't get that many.
Oh, really? A 5-card case? Oh, yeah, because it's one pack per box, one card. Okay.
Yeah. So like you'll see guys like, honestly, one of the only things I would do with this, although because it's only a 5-card case, you're going to get into case breaks for $2,500 roughly. You know, so if you want to take a chance, it's like $88 a spot, random teams, 30 spots. The tough thing though, again, just a numbers game, 25 guys are going to skunk, maybe more if a team doubles up. You know, the other option here would be like single box random teams. I don't mind because you get in it for $20 or so. Single box serial number breaks where you get one randomly assigned serial number, 0 through 10. So card 10 of 10 would go to the 0 spot. Card 9 of 10 would go to the 9 spot, 8 of 10, 8 spot, so on and so forth. I mean, you'll be able to get into those for like $50 a pop. I used to love this product back in the day when it was $250 to $300. And you could actually just hit decent vets and do okay. I just think it's really priced itself out for at least for singles, for solo boxes. I wouldn't go anywhere near it.
What do you think upside potential, though, is? Just out of curiosity.
I'd be curious. Does it have like on the sales sheet there, does it say like there's a Ruth cut or a Mantle? There's always like some huge stuff. The one-of-ones are crazy nice. You know, like the logo patch of Griffey will do a few $1,000, probably $5,000.
Really? Man.
It's just too few and far between for me. I hate that I can't hit a really, really nice veteran auto and feel good because I know I got crushed.
Yeah, it doesn't show any vintage guys in here off the bat. But yeah, it's showing like a Vlad, a Trout. There's a Jeter and a Rivera. Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, Mariano's awesome. Like any other product, you're happy to hit that. And that product, you just took a bath. Trout's obviously going to sell way higher. Jeter is going to sell higher, you know. But even Vlad, a Vlad second or whatever this is, second year or third year of his dynasty, you're not making your money back on that. That's what's brutal. That's why I don't like it for that reason, just for the pricing. But it's a very popular product. I would just be selective how I got into it.
There is actually, I'm seeing Don Mattingly, Pedro Martinez, Roger Clemens, Reggie Jackson.
That's what I mean. If you hit those guys in a break normally, you'd be happy. And in a break, you'd still do okay. But like if you paid for a team in there, you're getting crushed with that.
There is a King Griffey in here.
Yeah, always. Awesome. And Griffey probably outsells the buy-in point. But if you pull a Griffey out of that product, you should be able to double.
Dual auto patch of Trout and Otani. That one would probably do pretty well.
That's huge. That's probably a few $1,000. Awesome. There's some great hits. I just would not mess around with this on personals. And I'd say this, if you're going to go the personal route, which I think is horrible, honestly, just spend the money and buy a case. At least then you know you're getting the case hit and you're going crazy. That's a terrible thing usually, but if you're going to do it, just go all in and do it.
I've got a weird question for you. So in your opinion, what's worth more? Because I'm seeing in here that there's also a triple auto with patch set with Trout, Otani, and Pujols.
Huge money.
What does better? Does that do better than the just Trout and Otani, you think?
I would think so. And I would rather have that card personally. I think that's awesome.
But say it's like one of these cards that wasn't Pujols, say it was some lesser person.
Oh, then it kills it.
It does kill it as far as... Okay, so the other one would be better. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one good thing, though. In Dynasty, I bet the dual and triple autos are all like done well. You're not going to have that random person you used to see back in the early 2000s. So,
okay. Man, there's a lot of different things in here, but yeah, I can't imagine. $500, that's a hard hit if you're buying just a straight box.
Hey, let's do this. Let's save the Brian Rice, the hobby myths thing for Thursday. Because we have so much content, we haven't got the mailbag. Can we save that for Thursday? I do like that. I'd like to devote some time to that, though.
Yeah. Oh, you know what we don't have on here? We should at least mention Amazon. The Amazon thing we did?
Okay. Take it away.
So anybody who did not know, because we didn't post anything about it up until like 5 minutes before we did it. We did
guerrilla marketing.
Yeah, exactly. Amazon Live is working with us to have us be the QVC spokesman for the sports section of Amazon Live right now. Basically, all it was Mike and I hanging out, watching the Titans game. Just that was depressing by itself. But other than that, it was fun because Mike was ripping some packs. I was cooking chicken wings.
Jesse was in the kitchen cooking like a maniac.
It was our first time. I would say for Mike and I's opinion, it was rough. Other people gave us positive feedback. They thought it was fun. But it was just us hanging out, being natural. I mean, just as natural as we are on here, except you could actually see us and you could see me walking around the kitchen trying to feed Mike raw chicken wings. But
and then sitting next to me eating, it was a bad. Yeah,
I took one bite. It wasn't that bad. It'll
last a lifetime for me.
Oof. I would like to emphasize for anybody who did watch that, I did make a good chicken wing. However, that we did not have time. They needed to go in the broiler to really finish them off. However,
they were raw.
No, your wife and my wife both said they were good. I had
crawling in salmonella.
After they were cooked more, they were good. So anyways, we're going to do that again probably next Sunday and probably a few Sundays going into the future. So we'll put up more posts. If you guys want to check it out, come hang out. If you want to buy something, feel free. If you don't, just chat. There's live chat in there. So you can do that too.
Hey, give these people a little talk too. We were live on Whatnot Friday night. Jesse finally tore into so he sold the first 8 boxes of this case of Pop Century, the Leaf stuff with the celeb autos.
Yes.
Overall thoughts. How'd you feel about it?
Overall thoughts, I was really happy with what we pulled out of there. Like, honestly, I think mostly everybody made back what they purchased a box for. There were guys who got the Chuck Norris. I'm trying to think of the post you made. The interns did. The Hulk Hogan was really cool. I didn't realize until someone commented that he signed it Hulkster, which
he never does.
Yeah.
So I actually think that's going to sell for big money. There was the Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. Rainn Wilson, the Dwight from The Office.
Oh, as Dwight Schrute. Yep.
Yes.
Daisy, the Jedi.
Daisy Ridley. Yeah. From that. And Here's what's exciting. I still have four more boxes.
So the last four we're doing on our social this week, over the next couple weeks, like Instagram Live and crap. Yeah, I actually thought the product was kind of cool. Like, it's super niche and a different, but there is a market for it. It was, yeah, I thought it was kind of fun.
I haven't gotten any negative feedback as far as like guys being, why'd you do this? This is dumb. Or like, people seemed really excited. Some guys were like, yes, I'm buying this product. So Leaf, if you're listening, we wouldn't mind taking a little off your hands. We'll rip it for you right online.
I can't imagine he has any more.
I honestly, I'd be surprised too.
Yeah, but I'd be shocked.
I'm reaching out either way. We'll find out.
Cool.
But yeah, I've got four more. We'll open it. We'll let you guys know with a little more notice next time.
Let's commit right now. When are we doing one box and an Instagram live this week? We have been neglecting that forever.
Just what night are we doing that?
One box and some Q&A and some chatter and nonsense.
Tuesday at 7 o'clock.
Tomorrow at 7 o'clock, the 21st, Jesse, ya boy, sports boy, will be ripping. He also said he's probably going to give some of these things away, maybe a little giveaway thing here to pump up. Oh,
yeah.
The...
Well, I mean, with your help with shipping, yeah.
Ever heard of it? So we'll be live on our Instagram handle, Sports Cards Nonsense, Tuesday at 7 o'clock Central Time, the only time zone that matters. Cool. All right, guys. So we teased this at the beginning of the show, a little NFT talk. There's a Curry project coming out. I think it releases today, if I'm not mistaken. So David Schwab, I'm just going to go with the official title. He is a bigwig for our agency that we work for as well, for Octagon, kind of on the venture side of things, getting into new projects. So David, appreciate you jumping on with us. How you doing, man?
Yeah, great. Good to be here, guys.
Was that the official title? Did I get that right?
Bigwig.
Bigwig. That's on the cart. Okay, I thought so.
Assistant to the bigwig.
So what's the deal with the Curry NFT?
Yeah, so launches Monday, December 20, 8 p.m. Eastern. 2,974 unique art pieces. And there's an artist, Andrea McDonald, who the way she does her art, she makes up the physical body of her sketches with certain numbers and words. So for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it was Descent, as an example, that made up her whole body. For Stefan, the number 2974 is his entire body, his hair, his fingers, his mouthpiece. She made four different sketches. One that symbolizes joy, one that's faith, one's his competitive fire, and one that we call splash for how he shoots. And so there are 2,974 of them.
And so one for every three-pointer, right?
For every three-pointer. So if you end up with number 30, as an example, it will say the city they played or the team. It'll tell you the date. His digital signature will be on it. And then a special moment on 30, it'll say jersey number. And some say 11 three-pointers. Some say triple-double. Some say birthday game. And then when you get to the final 10, it says 9 to go, 8 to go, 7 to go until you get to the record. So there's 2,974 of those. And for the people that mint them, you're able to buy up to three. So for the X amount of people, max 2,974, when you buy it and mint it, you're also gifted a bonus NFT. There's another gentleman whose name's Floyd Norman. He's 86. He was Walt Disney's first African-American animator and artist hire in 1956. And he has done everything from Sleeping Beauty to Dalmatians to he worked on the Sesame Street in year one. I think they just celebrated year 50. And he created two storyboards of Stephen's favorite three-pointers of his life against Cleveland in the finals over Kevin Love from about 30 feet. And then over Oklahoma City to beat them in overtime, 121-118 back in 2016.
Seven?
No, that was not a playoff game. That was a February game, overtime game, 38-footer. And so
did you ever think we'd be living in a world, real quick, where we have 86-year-olds and doing NFT art? It's pretty amazing, actually.
It's awesome, right? And Stefan just has he's got his collaboration with Sesame Street with his Curry brand. And the fact that guy worked on year one, I mean, the coincidence of that is awesome. So everyone that gets Andrea's, the 2974, one of those, is gifted one frame of one of those storyboards. And then we're auctioning three items. We're auctioning the record, 2974, the one that Andrea made. And we're also auctioning the full storyboard of Oklahoma City and the full storyboard of Cleveland, which are six frames. So
nice.
Should be fun.
David, I saw that. I think this is kind of cool because sometimes you think NFT and people just think, oh, they're trying to make money. This is 100% for charity. Is that right?
100%.
Nice. Okay. That's 100%.
Pretty cool. What? I mean, this is all Stefan, right? We're fortunate to help, and there's SC30 and the artists and FTX, and there's a lot of people, but his first thought was trying to come up with an idea that commemorated the record, but also did something for the community that's helped him. So it wasn't even a question to him of all the money going to Eat, Learn, and Play. And then also the ones that normally the IP holder keeps and gives for marketing, he's given them to Davidson coaches, teachers, family, friends, rivals, teammates, you know. So he wanted to celebrate it kind of in a cool and different way. And hopefully it does great for Eat, Learn, and Play also.
So I do have a question too. So with the NFT from the 2974, is it just I was confused about this. Is it just a still shot, or is it more of like the top shot where it's actually the moment of the shot?
It's not the moment of the shot.
Okay.
So the actual NFT will be the still shot, but okay, when you get it and when you open it, there's a pretty cool 10 second animation that brings it to life, but it's not game footage or any of that. Nope.
Good. So here's why I like this too. I've been pretty critical of the NFT space in general, because I do think a lot of this has been a money grab. And just quite frankly, I just think a lot of it's crap, right? Like, we've even had athletes come out and it's like, well, where's the proceeds going? It's like some fancy way of saying to their bank account, which is fine. I don't care if people make money. But the fact that people don't put any effort into this is why I find NFTs irritating. The reason, so Jeremy kind of brought this up to us, our agent at Octagon. And he knew my initial take. And that's why he was like, hey, before you crap on it for being an NFT, you got to look into it. And that was my thing. I actually looked into this one. I like the fact that there's only the 20, what is it, 2974? I like that it's limited like that. It's actually a specific number. It's like, hey, there's just 10,000 for the sake of having 10,000. It's all going to charity. That's cool too. But just the fact that there's like some art and some actually work being put into this. Because I told Jesse, some of these moments just coming from the card world, some of these are going to be stupid. Like, for example, a card that's numbered 30 of 30, his jersey number, huge money. Like, jersey number cards have a crazy premium. I have to think, like, number one of these, the minted one, is going to go for a crazy premium. So I actually think Curry did a good job here. I'm also saying this because I want him on the show, but that's fine. I also think he just did a good job of, like, I think this is going to do pretty well in the secondary market, too. Not that that's the reason for it, but I am glad to see. I think this one will actually bring value to the customer, too.
Yeah, when he talked about thank you, and that is a thank you to him for his thought through this.
You're going to pass that along to him though, right?
I am.
And say that
I
we
am.
Said that? Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, cool.
No, and even just in broader NFT, what I would say, this is not a Stefan thing. This is for anybody that does NFTs, and to the comment about skeptical, if you're the creator of an NFT, the way I would say it, and to bring it back to the card landscape or your world, is you want to be proud of that art that you would physically display it in your living room. And you can physically display it in a traditional frame or in a digital frame, streaming on a, you know, streaming on a TV or something like that. But that's got to be the hallmark. Like, you have to be proud of that. And then if it sells, wonderful, and all those other pieces that come with it. But I think if you can start with, are you proud enough to hang this in your own living room? It's a good place to begin.
Yeah, and I do. I think these, because of the storyline with it, I actually think it starts with that. I think it accomplished that. I really will be curious to see the market, just because when he set the record, like, his physical cards went absolutely on fire. We had a record-breaking sale like 2 days ago as well, because people love him. Everybody loves point guards anyways. Like, everybody's imitating Curry. Like, I just have a feeling his market's just going to keep climbing, especially when the playoffs start.
I heard, I got to digress for a second. Somewhere in New York, I don't even know where it is, and I actually was told this by my son, that there is a youth league right now where they have decided that at the three-point line, any shot outside the three-point line is worth two, and any shot inside the three-point line is worth three. Because these kids are shooting 30-footers. And they're
He changed the game. He has changed the game of basketball more than anybody else in the history. No question, I don't think. Ridiculous.
That's amazing. David, anything else you want to say about it? We appreciate you coming on. This is a pretty, I mean, like Mike said, I really like the art on it. I think it's really cool. And one of the ideas we even had is a TV. You know, everybody's talking about, like, picture frames for their cards, but cards, The one thing about cards is they're so small. The thing about Curry's NFT and all these other ones is you could literally just have a frameless TV almost mounted on the wall, and that is your picture frame for your NFT cards. That's what I want to do in our new office space. I think NFTs are huge. Do you have any other thoughts on the NFT market itself?
I just think the community value is a benefit if you build one. Some are not built that way. Some are built as a transactional, and then it becomes more of a one and done. But you know, we'll see what the community is here, right? He's not done shooting three pointers.
You guys are gonna have to add some more NFTs to this. When he hits 3,000.
So which could be in a week. So there, a Tweety Bird says, hey, you probably want to hold one of these on Christmas Day, right? And so there's that's the fun part of it. And that's when you look at back to all of the NFTs and the ones that do well, you know, what's the game? What's the utility? Why do I want to hold it? How do I build a community? It's pretty interesting. And it's still small, right? It's such a small size of the ecosystem. And so I think the big learning for me through all of this is how can people build communities in different ways than they have before? And it may end up being a duplication of other communities they've already built, or it may be a completely different, you know, sector. So we'll all find that out soon.
Nice. Hey, so David, one more time too. So it goes on sale tonight, because we'll release this podcast later. Tonight, Monday, the 20th.
8 p.m. Eastern.
8 p.m. Eastern. Where do people find it?
2974sc.com. 2974sc.com. But if you want to do it, go to the FTX website, ftx.us now, because if you're not in crypto or you're not, you still have to go through a
absolutely
card. And you can pay via credit card. You don't have to pay
awesome
in crypto, but you got to set up.
Thanks, David.
So you want that fair shot at 8 o'clock.
Right.
And what is the price, by the way? Is there just a set price for all of these?
$4.99, except for the three auction ones. Yep, $4.99, which gets you one of the 2974 and the bonus one from Floyd Norman.
Good deal. Well, hey, Dave, we appreciate it. It's David Schwab from Octagon Official, the big wig at Octagon. We did decide that.
We can introduce it when we're there.
Appreciate the time, man. And yeah, we're looking forward to see how this thing goes tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually, we're great, but together, we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
Can we do some mailbag and get out of here? I'm going to get out of this bed.
What is
wrong
with
that bed? What kind of mattress is this? Is this Tempur-Pedic?
That is a Tempur mattress, or it's Comfort-Pedic. It's off-brand, but whatever. Granted, I laid in that bed. That used to be our main bed. Oh, every mattress goes from the main bed to the guest bed at some point. When you're upgrading your mattress, you don't get rid of it. You go to the
guest. Laying in the old bed?
Listen, bro, you're on my side. I got a nice groove in there. You're basically just like in my groove.
I don't know how to work this massager either.
Oh, did you hit the massage? Is it vibrating? That's a good massage.
Let's just hit some questions. You vibing, bro?
All right. Let's start with Casey St. Henry.
Why is that one guy in the bed doing the podcast? I like your show, but guys, I don't trust people who lay down to do podcasts, and I don't think you should be on the ringer.
Are you doing Jim Gaffigan right now? That's Mike's take on someone in bed doing Jim Gaffigan. There you go, food people. Mailbag. Yep. Casey St. Henry from the Facebook. Are all NF players and especially backup QBs with a start under their belts overpriced right now? The Ravens backup looked good, but his contender's optic auto is bonkers right now.
Yes. And answer to your question, yes, they are. Yeah, I mean, you see these incremental crazy spikes in price. Yeah, I mean, what's Huntley going to do the rest of the year? In general, I think that's the case. They're overpriced based on very momentary spikes.
Yep. Okay. John Dudley would like to know.
John Dudley writes for the newsletter. I'd like to know why the newsletter. Here's a question for him. Why hasn't the newsletter come out the last few
weeks? I don't think that's on him.
Is that on Sean? What's going on here?
I haven't heard from Sean in 3 weeks.
And is Sean alive?
Granted, I haven't called him either, so I don't know. I just assume he's busy.
Not with the granted,
he wasn't getting paid to do it, so maybe that's partially
granted, he was getting. Oh, yeah. We got a sponsor. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, that's
move along.
Will Topps 2022 Series 1 have a print run that hits 1 million? 2021 has been estimated at around 677,000. Thanks, Card Hobbyist on YouTube. That's where he got that information. Is the Wanderlust / Wandermania enough to absorb that kind of a print run?
No. Not to mention, again, base cards. What's Acuna, Tatis, Soto, all those guys doing now? Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to make a ton of it. I just don't think you're going to see the type of value that initially you would think with a product featuring Wander for his paper-based rookie. So, yeah, I worry about that product, Series 2, update, all those.
So Topps could be looking at an overprint is what we're concerned about.
Well, on the paper stuff, they always print a lot, which is okay, but I just think the market is now reacting negatively to that.
What would you say would be the solution? And I know no one has this, but I'm curious. Would it be better, like, if you're going to overprint the base, but still have a very small amount of, like, anything non-base?
Yeah, but the problem is that the value in those products, like Top Series 1, has always been, okay, you're not going to get a great $300 auto, but you're going to get a bunch of base cards you can grade to kind of piece together value. So, yeah, how do you get around that? I just think we're kind of in a settling time for base, and it's okay.
I'm really excited to see what happens out of this because granted this is a settling instead of a crash, which that's great. Anytime there's a settling like this, it means there's innovation hopefully to be had. That means we're going to come out of that. But I don't know what that looks like. I'm really excited to see it. Christopher Duff from the Facebook. First and most importantly, how were the wings and which topping was the best?
Wings were
great. Wings were great, Chris. Thank you for asking. Second, how long do you hang on to your sleeve it and stash it in a box rookies before dumping them? How does it vary by sport?
I hold forever.
How many would you say you have? You have a lot?
I am suspiciously patient with certain things. Like KD stuff that I bought way too high on, some Ja stuff, Kyle Lewis stuff, Tua. I'm going to hold on to that stuff for a long time. I'm too ignorant to just take the loss on a lot of that stuff.
Fair enough.
Like a year or plus years. KD, I bought that lot a year ago, right around the first of the year.
So would you say you've never gotten rid of anything?
No, eventually I cut ties on Otani. That worked out well. Idiot. So I'll wait until right before they spike and sell them off and cut my losses and then look back with regret. Thanks, that's, Chris.
That's a good move. Sure. Tim French. Mike, what are your thoughts on the holiday product release? Hot garbage or underrated?
On the holiday?
I guess like products being released around this time. I don't know.
Some really nice stuff. Okay. I mean, Topps Dynasty is awesome. Topps Bowman Draft coming out. Flawless Baseballs next week or the week after. I mean, Flawless is Friday. Really nice stuff. Bowman's Best is next week. Some of the better releases of the year. The problem is, yeah, it's right around the holiday that a lot of people tie up money with other things. So the market doesn't always react super positively just because of that. But I like the product. It's just bad timing.
Tim had a secondary question, one for Sports Boy. What franchises, Star Wars, couldn't Harry say, Potter, Lord of the say
one,
Rings?
One for me? Is that what you were? One for Sports Boy?
Star Wars, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones. Do you think these are good investments as far as celebrity cards?
You do.
In my opinion, some of them, like Star Wars, I think there's enough history for Star Wars cards, for there to have already been an audience, a hobby collectors who would want more of them. As far as Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, I think it's a fairly new marketplace for those franchises specifically. However, I know there are guys out there marketing and selling like Game of Thrones. There's a guy who just messaged me over the weekend about Game of Thrones ones. I never watched the series. I know a lot of people are probably going to be surprised by that. But I don't know much about those as far as like the content of them, but the franchises themselves are huge. So if the franchise is huge, there's probably going to be a buyer. I don't know if it would be as big as Star Wars as far as their celebrity cards go. There you go. That's my answer.
Boom, roasted.
John Dudley. Is Jonathan Taylor now front runner for MVP after Brady got shut out by the Saints? I think a substantial portion of the voters might refuse to vote for Rodgers, along with, is Jonathan Taylor under or overvalued right now? I think we answered the second part of that question.
So undervalued short term, long term remains to be seen. Yeah, I'd be curious to see like some live Vegas odds.
Well, we know those Vegas odds were a week old.
Yeah, there's got to be something. Right.
I mean, they were I checked both of them. Both the FanDuel and the Vegas ones were a week old. They hadn't updated them yet. So I guess maybe they update it each Tuesday or something.
Hang on one second. I'm going to look this up.
While Mike is looking up a little bit about Vegas odds with Jonathan Taylor, I'm going to go on to another question. Jeff Ng wants to know, who would win in feats of strength, Jesse or Mike? I'm going to go ahead and tell you this, guys. On Whatnot the other night, someone said, arm wrestle for who gets to open the pack. Mike denied an arm wrestling challenge to me.
I just had because surgery. In fact,
he knew he was going to lose. He knew he would have lost.
Okay, that's by the way, this is an hour old. I don't know what site this is, but it just released. It was retweeted by ESPN. So Aaron Rodgers is now the front runner, plus 125. Brady, number two, plus 175. Jonathan Taylor, Thomas, and Mahomes are all at plus 1,000.
Interesting. Wow. So it's anybody's game. I feel like that there's still chance. Like if say they have some bad games, the QBs have some bad games, Jonathan Taylor steps in. Possible.
I hope so. I mean, the kid deserves it. He has been more valuable. He has been as valuable as anybody in the league. But the position is not nearly as valuable. It's just the way it is. Guys always protest that. But look at the teams who win championships. They have a great quarterback, or at least a quarterback playing great for that period of time. That's why we don't see it. But I think he's an absolute lock for offensive player of the year.
Who do you think wins the Super Bowl, honestly?
Man, I have a weird feeling. It's the Chiefs or the Bucks, one of the two. Those are the only two quarterbacks I trust in the playoffs, honestly.
I mean, everyone gave Mahomes so much crap, but they are doing well.
Yeah, now he's got the best record in the AFC. They're rolling.
And yet his pricing has not jumped back yet. That's something for another show.
Yeah, same for the show, Jesse.
Same for the show. Timothy Lake, back to mailbag. I have widely heard the 86 Fleer Michael Jordan rookie is the marquee of the sports card industry. When did this start and why? What are other cards that could take its place eventually? Brady, Mahomes, LeBron, Curry?
Yeah, I mean, the 52 Mantle, I would say, is already as prestigious, if not more. Trying to think of other cards that have that sort of prestige, the Brady contenders, but that's a totally different value too at that point. You're talking even bigger money for gem mints especially. Yeah, the Brady contenders is there, the Brady Bowman Chrome, the Topps Chrome LeBron is on that level, not in terms of actual dollar value, but iconic cards. The Trout Bowman Chrome of his Bowman Chrome Prospect Auto is there. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a number. I don't know that the Jordan is the most prestigious, but it's probably the most recognized.
Well, that's what brand. I think he's saying. It's the marquee, basically just like the icon of the sports card industry.
I would argue the 89 Upper Deck Griffey, although way, way lower priced, is probably as iconic, if not more, than the Jordan.
I would disagree. I think the Jordan is, but that's okay.
Yeah, especially because baseball is, in general, still way more collected than basketball, and that card is so attainable as opposed to the Jordan. Yeah, if I had to pick one card, like, hey, what kind of sum? I think the Griffey's as recognizable and as much a marquee card as anything.
Kenneth Griffin from the Facebook, look into your crystal ball, boys. Who are the NBA hobby leaders, active players, only addition in 5 years? NBA hobby leaders, active players only addition in 5 years.
Okay, so which guys? I mean, I honestly think LaMelo and Anthony Edwards are right there. You know, I still think Jason Tatum, just because of how he's progressed, I think is the type of guy who in 5 years could be the top. Plus, you know, quite frankly, in 5 years in the NBA, how many of the top 10 guys are out of the league or on their last legs? Trey's there. Trey and Luka for sure. But like LeBron's done in 5 years, I would imagine. Durant, close to his last legs. Giannis, because he's so crazy explosive and athletic, still going to be one of the best, but in 5 years, does he still have... You start to wonder. Joker, I think, is another guy in 5 years is probably still at the top of the league.
That'll be interesting to see. I don't know about that. I feel like Joker is... I feel like he's due for a big injury. I could be wrong.
Why would you say that?
I'm not wrong. I know all these things.
Why would you...
We'll find out. Rob Huckins... greetings, gentlemen. How do NFTs work with regard to grading? Are these a guaranteed gem mint because they're digital, or is this a false assumption? No, it is not a false assumption.
I didn't understand this question. You pointed this one out before. How would you go about grading an NFT?
I think it's just a good... I mean, if he's new, brand new to it, he doesn't know. That's fair. But yeah,
How would you go about grading a digital item?
It would be a completely different grading service. I mean, you could grade a picture like you can grade a card. Granted, there's not like going to be dimples or anything like that. But if somebody decided, hey, we're going all in on the card market NFT world and we're going to set a randomizer to where not all cards are perfect, you could do it so that it adds a little bit more value to the ones that are. But at this point, Rob, no one's doing that. All of them are considered... Jim,
I guess maybe that's not the worst idea then. I never thought of it like that.
Well, think about it like that. What'd you think about it? You know, we're going to have, at this point, everybody will have heard our interview with the NFT guy. What did you think about my idea with David about the TV in the office space displaying, instead of having, you know, like we're doing like the whole promotion for it, it's displayable. Those display frames for your cards, your graded cards. I think those are cool. But NFTs, I think what's the real cool thing about those is everybody wants to put your card on display, but they are, no matter what you do for them, they are still small pictures. An NFT, you could basically blow it up to as big as your TV screen is. And if we put like one up and down, like a vertical TV, frameless, I think that would look really cool in there. Just displaying any cool NFT cards.
My only Michael? Thought of this whole idea was who's paying for the TV.
Oh my God. We'll split it as usual.
I don't
usual.
Think it's a bad idea though, but yeah. All right, next. Steve actually said he might be selling their frameless TV.
Oh, they did. I know that he mentioned they were moving TVs. I didn't know he was selling it. Actually, yeah, we need to, we'll talk to him about buying that. That would work. Crane Lemon. Where do you see overhyped players like LaMelo in the future? Do you feel like he's overhyped?
Crane Lemon.
Like, let's say, hypothetically, someone hit a LaMelo 1-1 downtown on Geo Breaks Friday night. Grade and sell ASAP or hold? Again, hypothetical here. I got a feeling Crane may have pulled a LaMelo 1-1 on Geo Breaks Friday night.
I don't know who
hit it,
but Eddie did pull the downtown. It had which to one of them him. Sold last week for $15,000. Also, Eddie's just came back. He hit one in a personal box at his card shop at PSA 10. It's probably worth 20 to 30 grand. It's stupid nice.
Holy moly.
Here's the thing. I don't know that he's overhyped. He's played really, really well, and he's a kid, and he looks good, and he has his team winning games. But that card in particular, yeah, I'd still sell that card tomorrow. I'd grade it and sell it ASAP.
Chris Thomas, with redemptions, is it better to sell it unredeemed or redeem it, wait for it to arrive, and if it's worthy of grading, grade it, and then sell it?
Yeah, that's the way to go. If you can... Now, some guys, though, are synonymous with not signing for months and months. So do a little research on the player. Does he have other cards that were redemptions that are now live? He's actually signing. So you know the wait isn't going to be extreme. But if you're trying to maximize your money, redeem the card yourself and sell it as a real card. It'll always outsell the redemption.
Nice. Three more questions.
Yeah, go.
Nat Thorpe. Mike, do you think that Steph Curry is undervalued at this point, considering his accomplishments thus far, compared to the values of new players that are totally unproven or the potential of rookies?
It's hard to make the argument. I think he's undervalued, yes. You can't compare it to new stuff because the hype around new stuff is just a whole nother world, you know? But yeah, historically, look at what he's done. I compare him more to guys like LeBron, KD, Harden, you know, kind of his contemporaries. Harden doesn't probably belong in that discussion. Giannis. Yeah, I actually do think he's a little undervalued. And especially if he goes on one more run, I just think it gets crazy.
Michael Provost, when selling a couple $100 card on eBay, do you think it's better to start it at a dollar or yep. go to, say, $100 for opening bid?
Always a dollar. You get way more eyes to start. Always.
I also think what helps with that is like when I see there are more bids on something, yep. it kind of helps me to want to get involved more. And I feel like it's more legit versus yeah. like, oh, there's a $100 bid on this card and there's only one bid.
Right. You get more watchers, more bidders. Yeah, more activity. I always start it low.
All right. Last card from Mark. Oh, man. I've been so good with pronouncing names.
Last card or last question? Do you want to do last question?
I said what I said. I refuse to acknowledge my mistakes.
I am who I am. I said what I said.
Mark.
Nobody put sports boy in the
corner. Jay Austria. I did so well. Mark.
The movement in your face, though. Oh, God.
So I'm good. Excited for people when they can actually see
I'm
it.
Excited to do this live in a studio together because then I'll be able to really just react and laugh right in your face when you're trying to read
this stuff. I'm almost nervous about it because I hear you sigh so many times, but I know I'm only hearing like half of the sighs. Oh, like you that, are going to that. Sigh every
half,
single
half
time.
Half is a low estimate, my friend. You're doing all so right, good today. Mark.
Oh man. See, this is what I like. This is we're grooving now. And of course it's the end of the episode.
We're vibing.
We're vibing so hard.
We're vibing.
Mark, any rumblings of Fanatics, Panini, or Tops, or I'm sorry, if Fanatics, Panini, or Tops will make a bid to take over Upper Deck NHL and golf products. I mean, I don't think we've heard anything about that.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything official. I have no clue. Nope.
Have you ever heard anything unofficial? That's the real question.
All right, nothing. Well. Sorry, Mark.
Well, Mark, sorry for the letdown. Kind of a bummer.
We butcher your name and then we don't answer your question. Good talk, Mark. Sorry.
Mark, ask another question next time. And please spell your name phonetically so I don't butcher it. I really appreciate it. That's our show.
So that's Mailbag. That's the whole show. We get the NFT segment. Ronick's going to masterfully produce that thing and shove it in right before Mailbag, I think. We kept it short, so if you don't like NFTs, I still think you should have... Well, at this point, you would have listened, so whatever.
Steph Curry could be coming on. I mean, I don't want to say he is 100%, but he is probably like 99%.
I'm just going to tell you, I was told after the season, because we're going to maybe help this guy out, he helps you out.
Scratch my back from Scratch George. Yeah.
Sure. There you go. Ringer Podcast Network. We are Sports Cards Nonsense, brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. We can say it in the right order. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll hit the hobby myths thing on Thursday and a couple other things, too.
Enjoy that. Don't forget, guys, it is the end of the year. Anybody who's given end of the year presents of any kind, we have a lot of promo codes. Go to sportscardsnonsense.com/services. You'll find all the guys that we work with and all the promo codes. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if someone offers a promo code, it's probably nonsense unless you're getting a display for your PSA, SGC, BGS, or magnetic cards. And that is at it's displayable. And the promo code is SCN. There you go.
Cool. And also on the website, Card Services, if you're looking to grade a card, we've got graders on there. We have card shops, Geo Breaks, of course, my break spot where I work with Eddie. I work for Eddie, excuse me. We've got some consigners, PC sports cards, and five-star seller. So every time, dude, it's five-star cards, for goodness sake.
Why do you say five-card seller, dude?
His last name's Seller. I don't know. So there you go. If you need help with your card crap, make sure you check out the website and the Facebook group. We will be live on Instagram tomorrow night, according to the sports boy, ripping his box, having
7
fun.
7 p.m. Central Time.
Boom. Roasted. See you Thursday. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.